Now to the perils of social media for birds. The African grey parrot was included in the top 10 most intelligent birds in the world by website BirdFie earlier this year. African greys can mimic human words and have even been found to be capable of basic maths. This makes them popular as pets, and some owners have turned their pets into money-making social media stars, like the African grey TikTok celebrity Apollo.
This is called fire. What? Look, this is purple. Emperor, good. What's this made of? Glass. Cool. Ouch. I know about that. What color? Black. This is a rat. What's this called? Book. Or box. Locks.
Most African grey parrots in America are now bred locally, and you can buy them here in Australia as well. But the illegal trafficking of African grey parrots remains a huge problem. They've been listed as endangered on the International Union for the Conservation of Nature's Red List since 2016. And a recent investigation published by Rolling Stone says that the TikTok obsession with African greys is fueling a global black market. René Ebersole is the journalist who did the investigation in Rolling Stone and is also the co-founder of the non-profit journalism organisation Wildlife Investigative Reporters and Editors, or WIRES. René, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First off, I wonder if you could just give us a quick description of the African grey parrot and also the history of its reputation as the or one of the most intelligent birds in the world.
Yeah. So they're small birds. They're about the size of a pigeon. They're almost entirely grey except for the red feathers on their tail. And they've been studied for decades. One particular Africa grey parrot named Alex was studied by a researcher named Irene Pepperberg. She found Alex was just an exemplary African grey parrot. She trained him and worked with him over a long period of time. But he really was able to use language meaningfully, understand concepts, and show evidence of self-awareness. And this has been found in other African greys. They're really like the great apes of the bird world. They have a brain the size of a walnut, but they're as intelligent as some small children.
It was really touching reading about Irene Pepperberg and her African grey Alex, in particular the fact that his last words were, "You be good, I love you."
Yeah. Apparently that's what he said to her every night. That was their routine. So she didn't know that when she said goodnight to him, then that it would be the last night. Parrots often live to be as old as 80 years old. In fact, they can sometimes outlive their owners, or they often do. And that's why the bird rescues are bursting, because there are so many birds that have outlived their owners.
What about African greys in the wild, René? Where are they found and in what numbers these days?
They're found in Central and West Africa, and their range has been shrinking over the last decades. One country in particular, Ghana, where researchers did a survey a couple years ago, found that the population there had declined by up to 99% in a span of only 3 decades. So it seems that trend is continuing across the bird's range. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is one of the last, major strongholds for African grey parrots in the wild, the population appears to be declining as well, although it's harder to survey there. And because there's been a lot of civil unrest, there haven't actually been many scientific surveys ever in that particular area. But there's concerns that they're declining even in the place where they've been, most abundant.
The investigation you undertook was truly global in scope. Could you tell us where you went, why you went there, and what you found?
Sure. Yeah, so I've always been fascinated with African grey parrots. Way back when I was first getting started in journalism, or even before I got into journalism, I worked in science and I had studied an orangutan. So I was looking at self-awareness in primates. And when I found out birds can have that similar self-awareness, I became really interested in these African greys. And so when I found out they were declining, I was surprised. You see them in pet stores and you see them online a lot. And I was really surprised to hear that their numbers were in decline. So basically, I followed the supply chain back to the heart of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where you can find them in the wild. I went to South Africa, which is the world's world's biggest supplier of African greys. They have breeding farms there that are registered, and they have about 200 registered breeding farms, a very large number of them. And they produce a lot of parrots, you know, as many as tens of thousands in a single year. South Africa, being one of the world's biggest suppliers, is sending most of its parrots to the Middle East and South Asia. I traveled to the Warsan market in Dubai, which is the biggest bird market in the region. There are dozens of pet stores where you could find everything from golden retrievers and snakes and rabbits to African grey parrots. You know, we used a new forensic technique in this investigation. I love to team up with scientists when we're doing stories. And for this particular investigation, we worked with a researcher at the University of Colorado Boulder who had devised a new technique using the microbiome to see if we can tell the difference between birds that had been captive raised or taken from the wild. And her technique looks very promising. We had some interesting results.
So it's a really big trade. How are the birds treated in this trade?
Yeah, birds that are trafficked from the wild, they really undergo an extremely arduous journey. It's amazing that any of them survive. By some estimates, only 1 in 10 do survive. They're taken from the forest, basically either from a nest or poachers climb up like a 100-foot tree, and they bait the birds by using a bait bird. They use a live wild bird to attract other ones. You know, they'll tie it to the tree, and birds that are flying by will hear the bird squawking. They'll come in to see what's going on. They're very curious. And when they come in, they get stuck on these sticky branches that they've coated with glue. So that's how they collect them in the wild, where they get the chicks, or they sometimes take eggs. And those birds, like in the places that I visited in the Democratic Republic of Congo, they had to travel from the forest. Then they would go by motorboat, like a motorized dugout, to the closest port, which might be 9 hours away. And then they would be loaded into these crates onto the back of a motorbike. And the motorbike driver might go another 9 hours to the next town. And the researchers who study the parrots there talk about them being sort of hardened off. So at each leg of the journey, they lose parrots. And by the time they get to the point where the birds are being shipped out of the country, they've got, you know, it's like survival of the fittest. They've got a small collection of them that can be shipped. But so obviously they have to take a lot in order to, you know, send any significant number of them, because so many die in transit. And then the ones that are bred in captivity, it's different. It's a different condition. You know, they're fed commercial bird food. They live in cages or producing eggs, you know, producing more chicks. And those chicks have to be raised. Well, the chicks are sold when they're really young if they're going to be pets. And the birds have to be in captivity as long as 4 years before they start producing chicks.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Renee Ebersol, who's done the Rolling Stone investigation titled TikTok is Obsessed with Talking Parrots. It's Fueling a Global Black Market. We've mentioned the trade in African greys, Renee. What is the legal status of trading African greys around the world?
It is legal to for the captive breeding of parrots in places that are accept them. So it is legal for South Africa to send African grey parrots to the Middle East and Asia, where that is a legal trade as long as they're not being trafficked or laundered through that legal business. It is illegal to take any African grey parrot from the wild. And that's including in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which in August of just this year, only a couple months ago, made a declaration that it's illegal to trade African grey parrots, and that's to catch them or to transport them or to sell them.
To what extent is that legal prohibition honored or honored in the breach?
I mean, look, it's a very lucrative trade. You know, so and even in a legal trade, there are always bad actors. And in reporting on a subject for a long period of time on the illegal wildlife trade, I've noticed there's always a trend, you know, in terms of if there is a legal trade in animals, you often find illegal actors hiding within that. You often find people laundering illegally caught animals within that legal trade.
You met some extraordinary characters in your investigation. One of them is a wildlife trader, Gideon Foury. Could you tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, he's been trading animals for decades in South Africa. He's one of the biggest bird traders in South Africa. He has been caught smuggling animals into legal shipments. He has been caught, you know, hiding illegal animals in his shipments. He was convicted. He signed a plea agreement 2 years ago saying that he would not do that again. And he seems to be, you know, continuing to operate just, you know, business as normal. And the government never responded to my questions about why that could be, how he's allowed to continue doing that.
What's the history of his political involvement?
I don't think I want to get into that. That had to go through legal like 3 or 4 different ways. If I say that the wrong way, I'm going to be in trouble.
Well worth going to the Rolling Stone article to read the full details of that aspect of things. Okay, well, that's Gideon Foury on one side of the equation. Another extraordinary couple that you met are John and Therese Hart. Could you tell us about them and what they do?
Yeah. The Harts have been working in conservation for many years. They've started national parks. They've found new species. And they currently, they're in their 70s, have decided that their mission now in life is to prevent the African gray from becoming extinct or continuing to decline, especially in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where they work. And they really have been working tirelessly to get the message out that, you know, it's these parrots are you know, part of the country's natural history and a source of cultural pride. It's even the African gray parrot is even on the DRC's money. So they've been, you know, working with officials to encourage the protection of the birds. And they've been working with people who are in law enforcement and animal protection to seize parrots that are smuggled, you know, if they find parrots being smuggled by poachers, to seize them and to rehabilitate them and then release them back into the wild. And they know that the numbers they've been seizing and rehabilitating are just a drop in the bucket. It's a very small number of birds compared to the tens of thousands that are being trafficked. But they do these, you know, public relations events that help get the word out that these birds are worth protecting, and, you know, and people can take part in seeing them actually return to the wild, which is really special.
Obviously, the headline of your investigation is about the impact of the popularity of African greys in social media on the global black market. What have you been able to find, I suppose, about the effect of that social media popularity, and how closely can you link that to problems with the global black market?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you see them online, it's so addictive to watch.
They are very addictive. Yes, well, I think we can agree on that.
I've spent many hours down that rabbit hole, and they really are entertaining. The thing is a lot of times people get the idea that like this is such a cool bird. It seems like such a good pet. You know, I think I want to have one too. And so that encourages the trade. And that's the, you know, social media or movies have had that effect on animal trade, you know, going back as long as, you know, think about Harry Potter and the owls in the Harry Potter movies. Those animals became very sought after for the animal trade as well. So seeing them is one thing that encourages the trade. But the other thing is, you know, the demand is they get more expensive, and then there's a real opportunity to make some money. And these animals can sell for as much as $7,000 a piece here in the United States. You know, if they're taken from the wild, a poacher might get $10 for them. In the Middle East, I saw them on sale for roughly, you know, $600, $800. So the profit margins are quite high. A lot of times the same places where these birds are performing online are also offering the birds for sale illegally, or other animals illegally. The illegal wildlife trade is thriving online. It's very easy to buy pretty much anything you want there. And there's a lot of efforts to crack down on that.
say, a bird like Apollo, who we heard from earlier, is it known where Apollo was bred?
I know they bought Apollo in a pet store in Florida, and I would assume that that means he was probably bred here in the United States, and probably in a bird mill somewhere in Florida, because Florida has a lot of them. It's, you know, the right climate for it. He would have probably been descended from wild birds that were brought to the United States back before the United States banned wild bird imports. So he's probably generations removed from a wild bird.
Obviously, the focus of your investigation is the birds in Africa and the trade to places like the United Arab Emirates. Do you have concerns about the treatment of African grey parrots bred and sold in America as pets as well?
Yeah, the people who I interviewed for this story, you know, a lot of them have concerns about any animal like a parrot, you know, being kept as a pet, because they are so intelligent, because they do require so much attention. They're often not as cute and cuddly as you think they're going to be based on what you see online. Many parrots come from large-scale breeding operations, essentially bird mills with rows of cage breeding pairs producing chicks. And even legally bred parrots often face poor outcomes. They can be prone to heart disease and physiological distress, stroke. Many outlive their owners, which has caused a surge in surrendered birds. Some of the sanctuaries I spoke to, they said that they were just overwhelmed. They didn't have enough space for rescue birds. And they talked about concerns with how many are the amount of time that birds, parrots in particular, pet parrots, end up spending in their cages instead of having time outside the cage flying around. A lot of them have their wings cut too.
And just finally, Renee, as well as your work on the African grey parrot, I know you've done many other investigations into the exploitation of animals and the international animal trade. Has any of that work led you to look into these issues in Australia?
I came close to coming to Australia years ago when I was doing a story about stealing of bees. In California during almond season, bee thieving is a real thing, because the bees are used to pollinate the big almond fields. And so I ended up focusing on California, but it turns out in Australia, there's a real problem with bee thieving because of the Manuka honey, because that Manuka honey is so valuable. So I almost came to do that story. I have been to Australia to report on other stories. Nothing illegal wildlife, although there's a serious egg trade happening there. Trafficking bird eggs is a lot easier than trafficking live animals. So there seems to be a trend. It seems to be trending up that people are smuggling eggs, which they could get from nests, you know, which in your birds would be cockatoos, right? Like, those are probably the native species that would be most sought after for pets. And they might, you know, raid the nests or someone's aviary. You know, sometimes birds are, I don't know if you hear reports of that, but it happens here in the United States that people who have birds as pets sometimes have them stolen if they're particularly valuable.
Well, the African grey parrot is a fascinating and compelling animal. It was great learning about them through your article, and your investigation of the global trade is equally compelling, although I suppose less cute overall, Renee, it has to be said. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Julian.
That's Renee Ebersole, who did the investigation published in Rolling Stone magazine into the way that the social media popularity of the African grey parrot is fueling a global black market. And Renee is also the founder of the not-for-profit journalism organisation Wildlife Investigative Reporters and Editors.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.